Would you please take your Bibles and come to the first epistle of John, chapter 2. More this morning on cardiology. In the Sunday school class, we've been talking about walking. That's good for the heart. It increases and enhances our circulation. And several weeks ago, we began by looking into the heart needs of the local church. And I believe the last time we met, one of the times that I met, I gave you the basic outline of the tips or the clues that John the Apostle and Jude and Paul gave that were indicative of the onset of circulation problems and the resulting coldness of heart. And I want to pursue that this morning, in part, at least. And to go back to the subject of the heart. Whenever in the course of various labs and testings, it is determined by the cardiologist that there is a blockage or two, then there are a number of things I guess they can do depending on the severity of it. Sometimes, however, in severe cases, it will involve the insertion of a stent that is placed in to your system to widen the artery and clear a path for your blood flow in, again, allowing the heart to function more suitably and everything about you to feel more comfortably. And I believe it is also that we can say from a spiritual point of view that there are some times when we might have to consider putting a stent in our spiritual heart. I am only suggesting this to you for those very rare occasions that you, as the children of God, sometimes maybe feel a bit cold in your love for Christ. And if it be that have a coldness in your love for your Redeemer that oftentimes corresponds to a similar coldness to your fellow Christians, and even worse, into those members of your family that are closest to you. Nothing like, as they say, extending your hand in friendship to a person and getting a cold handshake in return. That's not a good sign. And so what I'd like to do is have you remember something that we talked about a little bit ago concerning the circulation of the body. Our goal, of course, for this year is to build the body of Christ, but unless there is the condition of the body to be given consideration, the health of the body operating at maximum output, building is likely not going to be possible. And so as we open the scriptures this morning, let me be as clear and simple, concise as I can. And at each place, ask yourself a question. Do I need a stent? Do I need a stent here? 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. This verse has got ruts in it. And I mean by that, it is well traveled. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. It is that the Apostle John, and remember he had close connections and ties to the church at Ephesus. And we looked at that that church at Ephesus. It was commended on the one hand by the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was warned by him as well for having left their first love. The Apostle Paul, when he gave instruction in that sixth chapter epistle to that church, concluded in chapter six that they needed to give attention to the love of Jesus Christ. I assume then that when John speaks here about loving not the world, and he speaks, the addressees of course are, I think, a broader brush than the Ephesian church to include Christians generally, he's touching upon the subject of our devotion. The subject of our devotion. One of the reasons why God established the institution of marriage like he did, wherein there was to be one man for one woman forever, was because that it is not conducive to harmonious domestic relationships if there is a third party into the mix, or a fourth, or a fifth, or a sixth. That wave, by the way, is becoming greatly popular in the pagan culture around us, accepted by everybody who is anybody, can I say. But when it comes to devotion for the Christian, it has to be a devotion that's undivided. Undivided. There has to be a single, solitary focal point for the child of God. It cannot be that anyone stands comparable to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be the focal point of our devotion. It can't be that there is any other love, however emotionally bound into your heart, that gives justification for splitting time. And it may be that what John is addressing here in the Christian community, that some then, as some do now, split time. They share their love around. Now, let me have you think with me in the scriptures. If you'll take your Bibles and you look at these references, beginning at Matthew chapter 6, another rutted verse, well traveled, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. If you believe that there's a possibility of your life, in your life, where your devotion is not focused on Christ alone, then you may need a stent. In Matthew 6 verse number 24, it is said that no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. And if a man tries, here's what happens. He will hate one, love the other, or else it goes in reverse. He'll hold to the one and despise the other. Bottom line, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot split your affection and your devotion between two. It is either that your focal point will be Christ alone with no one else, Christ only with no competitor, or you will wind up despising him. You'll despise him. Because those that you show or have love for and affection for, those whom you will devote your life to, oftentimes will require of you things that are not convenient. It is then that there will give occasion for despising. When the Lord Jesus, who is to be the love of your life, calls upon you to do something or surrender something, and it is there that you find your affections split, you begin to despise the one who requires the most from you. And so it's an utter impossibility for Christian people to split their love. As a matter of fact, go back to James chapter 4. In the fourth verse, James chapter 4 and verse number 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now those are people who split time with someone besides the proper individual. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so we look at verse number 4, and it is true that we can't be a friend to our enemy and yet be a friend to God. We can't be a friend to our enemies, to God's enemies, and yet be his friend. And there's an illustration of that. You know, it is said by this same writer, I believe James chapter 2 verse 23 says about Abraham. It said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want to show you why. Go back into Genesis chapter 14. Following along this same line of thought about you cannot serve two masters. In Genesis 14, beginning at the 17th verse, some of Abraham's family, or Abram's family, was taken away captive. And Abram pursued. And verse 17 says this, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter. And there are some kings there. Melchizedek is mentioned in verse 18. And he blessed him, and he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, that was Abram's focal point right there, the Most High God. And verse 20, blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord. Now that's there's an air of exclusivity there. The Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And that being the case, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich. Abram drew a line in the sand there and refused to compromise with the king of Sodom. And the reason that he was able to forthrightly stand his ground, because his focal point was singular. It was the Most High God. He said, I lift up my hand to him. Abram was called a friend of God. Now, what about you? What about you? In John chapter 15 and verse number 14, I'd like to be God's friend, wouldn't you? Here's the formula. Simple. Here's the formula. John 15, verse number 14. You are my friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And what is it that he has commanded us to do? You track that over and connect it to Romans 12 and verse number 2. And it is the presentation there of a living sacrifice, holy unto God. Surrendered to him. So let me come back and ask. The Apostle John, in one of his clues, one of seven first century clues indicative of the onset of circulation problems and resulting coldness, says, love not the world. Love not the world. Do you need a stent? Do you need a stent? Do you have any reason to believe that there might be a problem of you splitting time with someone besides the Lord? Hold that answer and response momentarily. And look down in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Our second clue. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18. The 18th and the 19th verse, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would do, no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The second point that I believe John is making, he's speaking of a premature departure. A premature departure. A departure of some from a previous profession of Christianity. A previous profession of Christianity. He says, they went out from us. They went out from us. Now, let me have you do some thinking here with this point in view. It is said in the scriptures that Paul had several people, as did the Lord. A man by the name of Demas departed from the Apostle Paul's company for a very specific reason. And the reason that he left was he loved this present world. He loved this present world. Paul's life and the life of a servant is not consistent with the world's viewpoint. And therefore there is an utter incompatibility. It's not reconcilable. And so Demas left. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, there are a couple of other characters there that are mentioned who departed from Paul's presence. And we also note that the psalmist, keep your place there in 1 John and go back to Psalm 41:9. It is most difficult to have someone that you love very much, think highly of, to depart from you. And yet the psalmist is able to relate to that. In Psalm 41 verse 9, yea, my own familiar friend. My own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now that's a very emotionally devastating occurrence when someone that you love very much departs from you, just walks away from you. Now there are some excuses that I will share with you why that sometimes happens. But let me make relative the point here at hand in 1 John chapter 2. Now I know that some of you are not going to be able to relate to this. It doesn't concern you. This doesn't apply to you at all. Others, it might ring your bell. Some of you may have memory of this. There are many times when we'll be talking in having just casual conversation among some of the members of our church here. And oftentimes when we get together with our pastor friends and we try to encourage one another in the ministry, one of the things that has always been caught crossways in my heart, always, and I suppose it'll be till I take my last breath, is that over the past nearly 35 years here, on the bright side and the positive side, this church has ministered to hundreds of people. Literally hundreds. There have been scores and scores of people who sat in these pews. And you say, you look around, you say, what happened? I see some went out from us. Some went out from us. Some very close, personal friends. And over the course of years, as that builds, It is devastating, demoralizing. But yet on the other hand, I keep coming back and say, well, you know, maybe my concept of the prototypical New Testament church was all flawed right from the very beginning, because indeed this church has ministered to hundreds of people in various ways. Not only from across this pulpit directly, but for 25 plus years in the academy ministry to students and their parents, their grandparents, their aunts and their uncles. Hundreds of people. And I, sometimes in my prayer times, I lament before God, say, Lord, you know, if we were able to retain even but 10 or 20% of all that you brought our way in the course of the time here, we would probably be holding double services every Sunday. And if you're sitting there thinking, I don't relate to this, are you sure that you're not acting like Shane and you've gone away for a little bit? You're not thinking right? No, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I've kept records. I've got names, hundreds of names. And when I think about that, I track back, and one thing is common to all of them. One thing is common to all of them. And a week or two, maybe three now, I gave the results of a survey that I did concerning the present constituency of Grace Baptist Church. I'm going to give you these facts, and then I'm going to make the application. If I go back to the first or second Sunday in November, and I was keeping track of who was here and who wasn't, let me just share with you something. Here's what I found out. We have 28 constituent units. I mean by that, families. And out of those, 6 never attend Sunday school. Never. 8 never attend the evening service. Never. 6 never attend prayer meeting. Never. 6 individuals, when I take it out of the family unit, 6 individuals attended less than half of Sunday school service. 8 individuals attend only half or less of Sunday services, period. 7 individuals attend half or less of evening services. 11 individuals attend 60% or less of prayer meetings. Now that's the dark side of it. And one thing that all of those people had in common was that it didn't happen immediately. It didn't happen like that. But in the process of time, they went out from us. And it started this way. Matter of fact, even more dynamic than that, I could watch with almost surgical precision individuals who, when they came, sat in the first 2 or 3 rows. And as time moved on, they moved back further and further and further till they got to the very last seat. And then from there, they were gone. The bright side of it is, and thing that I can rejoice in, is that 11 out of the 28 units that I expressed attend almost all Sunday school lessons. 21 of them attend almost all Sunday morning services. 8 of them usually attend almost every Sunday evening. And 6 attend almost every prayer meeting. And I recite what the psalmist said. except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so I say to you this much, if as we look at these clues, if we look at these clues, remember this, you may need a stint if you are splitting time, if your devotion is sometimes Jesus, sometimes the world. My circumstances will determine which on any given day. And the departure, I don't know that I can ever remember, except on one occasion over the past 35 years, that anybody ever entered in here and didn't like it. I can't ever remember an individual who ever came in here who didn't comment to me and say how nice and friendly the people were. Because you are. You are. But on the other hand, I never met a person or recall a person who ever came in here who left immediately. Except on one occasion when there was a church ruckus in Ford City and all of a sudden I think there were 50 people showed up on an 11 o'clock service here that morning. We thought that there was a Pentecostal revival taking place in our church and everybody was, you know, let's get their names, addresses, get their license plate numbers and let's track them down, follow them up. No, because you know what happened the next Sunday? They didn't like what was going on here. We just happened to use the Bible. That's okay, because God sometimes protects his flock from an influx of wolves. And so it is that the Apostle John points out two things, a devotion problem, and that they went out from us. They were like Demas. Now there are some excuses, and probably to save a little bit of time, all I would ask you to do is take into consideration Luke 17, verse 32, two words there. Two words. You're going to find English in the English three words, but there's two for our purposes. Remember Lotta. Remember Lotta. Okay? That was Lot's wife. What did she do? She started out well. She left the place of destruction, but went back. She departed from her family. But long before she took the first step back, you know what was wrong? She needed a stent in her heart. Her heart was wrong. And why? The Lord Jesus clearly identifies why in Luke 14, verse 26 and 27 about he that loveth father and mother more than me is not what? And poor Lotta was taken out of Sodom, but Sodom wasn't taken out of Lotta. And so they went. Now, probably taken too much time, said too much, got more to meddling than I do being helpful, I'm sorry about that, but I will promise you this, that it will be this way until the day I leave. I'll just give it to you straight like I got it. And I don't set out to insult, infuriate, or offend. I don't want to do that. Certainly don't want to do that, but I would rather be offensive to you, the people, than to be offensive to God by just keeping my mouth shut when I know I should speak. And so with our goal in mind for the coming year to build our church, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take for those who never attend Sunday school to get here because you're missing out on some vital nutrients for your heart. It's going to take those who never attend the PM service to get here. It's going to take those who never attend prayer meeting to get here. And for those who are a little slipshod in their consistency of being at any of the services, to dress that up, shine it up. And let's give our best to the Master. Would you pray with me, please? Now, dear Heavenly Father, would you please help us to address the coldness of our heart? May the gracious Spirit of God warm our hearts and draw us into your Draw us into your embrace. Lord, teach us what it is to dwell near you for Jesus' sake. Amen.